In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, sinners give birth to sinners, and our bodies are riddled with sin. We're a shell of our former selves. God delicately crafted man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The crown of God's creation, in his image and in his likeness, no other creature could claim that but one, man. Holy as God was holy, righteous as God was righteous, perfect as God was perfect. And all of that changed with one bite of fruit. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Sin is a leprous disease that plagues your bodies without and within. It affects your organs and your bones and your marrow and the sinews. It affects your cells and your atoms. And it even penetrates deep down to your very DNA. Not even your soul can escape its grasp. All that you are is affected with sin, every part. This is the first gift our parents gave to us. This is the first gift we have given to our children. We could not change what we were. We could not fix it in any way. We could hide it to some degree, but hiding it doesn't remove what we were. Naaman could dress up in his armor and carry all his accolades, but none of that could remove his leprosy. Putting on a good front, learning how to be kind and generous and selfless and helpful for other people, none of that removes our leprosy of sin. We have this deplorable disease, and no matter how much good we do, no matter how many accolades or honor people heap onto us, none of it can remove this stain of sin. And do not think that you are somehow less sinful than others, than those bad people out there. This is what some churches teach, that you are more willing to accept Jesus, which is just a nice way of saying you're not as sinful as they are. So if you think you are less sinful than others, then just take a look at your past 3 or 4 days. Have you been perfect as God himself is perfect? Or have you been impatient and flustered and frustrated? Have you ignored your spouse or your children or your parents or even your siblings? Did you ever think about taking a day off of work or school just so you could do the things that you want to do? Did you gossip? Did you lie? Did you hate or get mad at someone else for no reason? The list could go on and on and on. But to err is human, you retort. It's what you do afterwards that's really important. No, to err is not human, or else Jesus would not have been a true man and you would not be saved. So now you see just how tightly sin has wrapped itself around our very nature so that we cannot distinguish between the two. We think it is natural to hate and get mad and to yell and to lust and to covet and to be greedy. We think all of this is natural because everyone in the history of the world before us has had these same thoughts and feelings. And can everyone really be wrong? Yes. When lepers are looking only at lepers, they think it is normal to have leprosy. Someone from the outside must tell them that their disease is deadly. So when sinners look only at sinners, of course they're going to think that it's natural to have sin. But the way we were is not natural. Someone from the outside had to inform us of our leprous disease lest it lead us to eternal death. And that comes solely from the Word of God. You do not see the great sins in your life, and the sins that you do see often are only internal and not external. You do not beat your spouse. You do not yell for no particular reason. You are, for the most part, kind and compassionate, quick to forgive, willing to admit your own wrongs. And so it's only by the Word of God that you see what you truly are. It's only by wearing God's goggles, those glasses of the Word, that you see just how deplorable and wicked your own flesh truly is. It's only when we understand the Word of God that we finally see that this old age and frailty and slowing down of body and mind are effects of sin and are really not natural to man. We've all had pain and weakness, bumps and bruises and scratches and stitches. Our bodies are dying. It's all a sign of sin. Sin has changed us and it's not for the better. This is what we received at our birth. So we need healing, even as Naaman needed to be healed from his leprosy. His servant girl knew that the God of Israel could heal through his prophet Elisha. And so Naaman went to that prophet Elisha, carrying quite a repertoire of stuff and people with him. But Elisha doesn't even come out to meet him. Instead, he sends only a messenger. Furious, Naaman departs. He doesn't want to go to something so simple and so ordinary, such as washing in the Jordan. The Jordan itself is not one of the most clean rivers in the world. He lists two more that are far better. If God would have told him to do something great, such as climb a mountain, he certainly would have run off and done it quickly. But when it's something so simple, so plain, the sinful flesh takes offense at it. Finally, Naaman, at the urging of his servants, goes and washes, and his flesh is restored to that of a little child. Not only is his leprosy healed, but all those cuts and scratches and scars from war are gone. His flesh is made like that of a little child. The Word of God worked through that water to heal his body. He was reborn. He was made new. His flesh was restored. And having seen this miracle, he goes back to Elisha, praising the God of Israel, that there is no other God but the Lord. We too need the same healing, only not outwardly, but also inwardly. We need something more than simply being brought back to a former state, a youthful vigor. We need to be brought back to the image and likeness of God, holy and righteous. And so the Son of God became the Son of Man. He took our flesh and blood and became like us in every way. All that we are, he became. For what God does not assume, he does not save. He had to take our flesh and blood if we were to be saved. There was no other way. And yet that leprous disease that clings to us did not cling to him, for he was conceived not by sinful man, but by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. He remained holy and perfect and righteous, the very image of God himself, even as he was washed with our unholiness in that same Jordan River. He took from us our sins and all our uncleanliness as that water poured down his back and our sins soaked his divine body. Behold the Lamb of God standing in those waters, the substitute of the world, dying our death, bearing the world's sins, satisfying God's wrath, restoring us to the image of God, removing all sins. It was finished on that hill. And now, risen in glory, the same God-man comes to you, or came to you in holy baptism, to restore you back to his image and his likeness. And he does it in such a simple and ordinary way. And so it's offensive to sinful man. It's offensive to come and let God simply wash you to give you eternal gifts. If he were to tell us to do something great, such as climb Mount Everest, the line would be, well, out the door, as they say. It's offensive to simply submit to the Word of God. And yet there in that simple bath, divine blessings are given. Here are the eternal gifts of God. Here the sinful flesh was drowned, ripped off from you, with that blood flowing from our Lord's side. Here you were reborn and made new, not simply to a youthful state, but back in God's image and likeness. The Word of God worked through that water to save your body and soul. Each organ, each limb, each bone, each sinew, all that you are, all your atoms and cells, yes, even your DNA and your soul, all that makes you up. Not one part was left out. All of it was scrubbed with the blood of Christ. No uncleanness can cling to you. Not one speck of sin can remain on you. For you are born again through water and the Spirit. And your flesh is like that of a little child, so soft and supple, so perfect, but even more, so holy and righteous. And as a mother wants nothing more than to delight in her newborn, to hold him close to her heart, so also your God wants nothing more than to delight in you and to hold you close to his heart. Since baptism has made you new, since baptism has taken away from you this leprosy of sin, then all the effects of sin must also be gone. So it is baptism that strengthens your wobbly knees and steadies your weak ankles. It is baptism that truly invigorates your heart and sharpens your mind and makes arthritis and every other ailment a thing of the past. No more pain. No more faults, no more problems. You will run and not grow weary, walk and never be faint. This is what baptism has given to you. Not quite yet, fully. For you do not see the benefits. Like any good medicine, it takes some time to see the full results. You have little hints at it now. You delight in the law of God. You seek to serve him day and night. But it's not until you leave this world that you see how God's word united to this simple water truly has changed you, how it has completely changed you inwardly and outwardly. So remember your baptisms daily, even more so than you remember your birthday. For this event, this baptism is far more important than your birthday, because it has saved you from that sinful birth. This is who you now are, a baptized child of God. This is what you are. You are in the image and likeness of God once more. You are holy and righteous. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.